Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us. We'll be on till midnight, and we hope that we'll be a blessing and encouragement to you along the way. Let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity on the air this evening. We do pray that you would bless the program tonight. Well, I just pray that you'd help us to lift up and glorify Christ through the things we talk about. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. And again, we just pray that we might encourage Christians. And just bless now, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight, and I'll tell you what a wonderful weekend this has been. It was a little cool and rainy here in Northeast Ohio yesterday, but other than that, I had a tremendous opportunity to go to the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, Pastor Andy Resnacko there, and it was a great time. They have their annual missions dinner, and it's a tremendous time. I forget how many missionaries were there, but all the missionaries get to come up and spend a moment or two, just a couple of minutes, introducing themselves and telling about their ministry and of course, the church there, Pastor Resnacko and the Bible Baptist Temple there in Euclid, Ohio. They support quite a number of missionaries in various fields around the world, and so there's always a good mix of some of the missionaries and ministries that they support that are there, and then also some new missionaries that were there. And imagine our good pleasure when we walked in, and as we were talking with some people that we knew, and we generally get a chance to go up there most every year. And while we were there, we saw somebody, and lo and behold, some missionaries that we knew that are working in the Samoan Islands. And that was, of course, missionary Jim Savali and his wife, Emmy. They're missionaries in the Samoan Islands. Now, what made that special is my wife and I, some of our listeners know, that we had been in the Samoan Islands as missionaries in the 1990s. And while we were there, we planted a church there, Grace Baptist Church, which has since been renamed Vai Oleola Baptist Church, which translates to the River of or Water of Life Baptist Church. And while we were there, we had a great time in the Samoan Islands, planted a church, and there was a gentleman that I kind of knew through some mutual friends that we had, and we were at the airport together, and while we were there, we were talking, and he was waiting for his brother to come in on an airplane, and at the Tafuna Airport there in American Samoa, and he was waiting for his brother to come in. I was waiting with my wife for somebody to come in. I don't recall exactly who we were waiting at the time, but in the Samoan Islands, the airport was a big hangout place. You know, it was a social gathering place, and if you had any connection to anybody that was coming or going, you would hang out at the airport. It was almost like an excuse. Young people especially loved any excuse that they could get to go to the airport, and since the flights were late, it was a good excuse to be out late. And so we were standing there talking, and it's just packed with people, and to pass the time, Brother Savali was asking me some questions about evolution versus creation. And we were talking about it, in fact, here earlier today, and I'll get to that in a minute as well. But we were talking about it, and he said that he was trying to get some information from me to counter somebody who is telling him something about creation. And unfortunately, I was supporting the other guy rather than him. And I was defending creation rather than giving him information to attack it with. And so we were going back and forth. He was asking me and kind of challenging me on some questions about creation. And at the time, he didn't know that I had a biology degree and had studied evolution considerably, and that the evolution creation topic was one of my favorite topics. But we chatted for a while, and I gave him a gospel track, and he kept that track, and he read it several times. And then 6 months later, and it wasn't just due to my influence, but it was other people praying for him, other influences, things that he heard on TV and different things like that, and our conversation and that gospel track all kind of worked together. And 6 months later, he put his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And it was kind of interesting, because he had been originally trained, seminary trained, to become a Jesuit priest, and he had decided to serve the church for a year or so as a lay missionary capacity before taking his vows. And he met his wife because he came to the Samoan Islands. He figured that was about as far from New Jersey as you could get, and thought it would be interesting, and he wanted to learn the Samoan language. And so the Catholic Church there in the islands tasked this one young lady who was actually the niece of the cardinal of the Samoan Islands to help educate him and in the language, teach him the language. And his brother Jim told me, he said, you know, all thought of the priesthood went out the window. They fell in love. They ended up getting married. And he stayed there. And he was very active in the Roman Catholic Church there in the islands during that time. But he wasn't saved. And in fact, he was going to try and win his brother back to the Roman Catholic Church, because his brother had left the church and I think had gone into the Orthodox. And he was researching all the church documents, because even though at one time he had been the head of the Catholic Church on island, head of the Catholic education program on the island, and worked for the bishop, they didn't really have any Bible to go through to do anything. So all he had was the church documents. So enter me with my gospel track at the time, talking about creation and evolution, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart. He trusted Christ as a Savior 6 months later on Christmas, I believe it was, and he came across the island rather than go to a brand new, over $1 million-plus cathedral that they had built. He suggests to his family that morning that he was going to visit this little church on the other side of the island, and he was looking in the paper, and we had a little ad in the freebie section for Grace Baptist Church, and he saw that and thought, oh, that's the name on the track. And so he came over, and rather than go to a cathedral for Christmas services that day, he came across the island, a good journey, and came upstairs into the little apartment that we used that we turned into a church on an upper floor of a building behind a fish shop. And that's where he came on that morning. And he was joking, saying that after the service, he shook my hand and said, "Nice homily, Father," to me. And because he didn't know anything, he'd always, been in the Catholic Church. And so, that was the beginning. And my wife and I eventually came back from the Samoan Islands, and our church was going through some problems at the time, and our church, our pastor resigned and asked about us taking over the church. And what's kind of interesting is because my wife and I, we were coming back and on furlough, and we were hoping to go back to the Samoan Islands, but we knew that there were some situations going on in our church. We didn't know what all was going on, and we didn't have a whole lot of information being half a world away. So we were praying, and we said, "Well, Lord, we're going to come back. We're going to spend a couple of months, just finding out what's happening and seeing what's going on. And if need be, we're going to move our membership." There was a church actually in Maryland, a long story that I won't get into right now, but it was a church in Maryland that we were going to move our church membership to actually, and I don't think it was even a week. I think it was just a couple of days after my wife and I were at church and we were cleaning and we were the only ones there. And we knelt down and we prayed and we said, Lord, you know, tell us what you want us to do. Do you want us to go back to Samoa? Do you want us to move our membership to this church in Maryland? What do you want us to do? We need some guidance here. We've come through a few months since we've come back, and what do we need to do? And so we sought the Lord's will because from the very beginning, we've always felt that we need to do what God wants us to do. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas, they went as they were directed by the Holy Spirit. And so we prayed about it, and we said, well, Lord, let us know, by the end of the week. And that Sunday, I think it was, our pastor said, well, this is going to be my last Sunday, and we'll either close the church. There's only a handful of people at the time. But we'll either close the church just disband the church, or if you're willing to stay, if you believe God would have you to stay and keep the church open, I'll turn the church over to you. And so we'd already prayed about that. We were content. If God wanted us to stay, we'd stay. If God didn't want us to stay, we were actually going to... I don't think I ever told him. I said that, I told him that had he not said that, the following Sunday we were going to announce that, or not announce, but I was going to the following week meet with him, and then the following Sunday probably would have been our last Sunday as members of the church. We were going to change our membership to a church in Maryland, and that's how close it was. And God changed our direction right there. Our pastor resigned, and we took over the church. And I've said oftentimes it was a lot easier starting a church from scratch in the Samoan Islands. But we took it over, and today we were really able to celebrate our church anniversary today, and what a great time we had. But getting back to talking about Brother Savali, the church in Samoa, one of the things that contributed to our staying was that the church in Samoa was already basically being provided for. And I've always been a believer that if you're going to start churches, you should also be in the business of trying to keep churches from closing. And had we gone back to Samoa, our church would have closed, and there would have been a net loss there of a church being closed. And the church in Samoa, there's another missionary, Brother John Yingling, that he's actually been on this program in the past. He now serves as the general director for Baptist International Outreach, doing a tremendous work helping missionaries and pastors around the world. And they're located in Tennessee. But he was there at the time, and there was a gentleman there who was coming along, and I believe that God was working in his heart, calling him into the ministry, and that was Brother Jim Savali. And he came from being an almost Jesuit priest to getting married, and then becoming a pastor of an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. And then God began working in his heart. He began praying about starting other churches in the Samoan Islands and asking God to send missionaries. And God said, well, how about you? That's kind of amazing, isn't it? When you start praying for God to send workers, it kind of tap your heart and say, how about you? And so now him and his wife, Emmy, are there starting a church in the independent country of Samoa on the island of Savai in the village of Asau. And a very interesting testimony, and I don't have time to get into all that. But this is one of the things that was really amazing, though, having seen them at the missions dinner up in Euclid, Ohio last night, and getting a chance to fellowship there a little bit. And then they came down to our church today for our part of our anniversary celebration. And we had some singing and dinner after the morning service, and then a free gospel concert, and had a number of people come. We had some of our listeners that had met up in Euclid last night, and then a couple of them even came to the singing this afternoon at our church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And it was nice to see them, and then the Savalis were able to get there too during the singing time. They were in church in the morning, another church in the evening, and so they were able to be with us. But one of the things that was really a blessing to me is while I was there in the Samoan Islands, we had prayed about the Samoan Bible. And as many of our listeners know, if you've listened to us for any length of time, I take a stand on the King James Version of the Bible, and part of the reason for that is that it, unlike the modern versions, it is a translation from the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek Textus Receptus, and unlike the modern versions, and so it comes from a different class of manuscripts. Well, in the Samoan language, there was the original Samoan Bible that was translated by missionary John Williams in the 1800s, and he was a missionary with the London Missionary Society, and he John Williams, along with a Tahitian, came from Tahiti where he was working, and they brought the gospel to the Samoan Islands in the, I guess it'd be about the 1870s if I remember correctly, and the Samoan language at that time was an oral language. They did not have a written language, and so John Williams, missionary John Williams, and his Tahitian missionary friend, they worked to put the Samoan language into a written form for the very first time ever. And, you know, people don't realize how many places around the world their written language, they owe that to Bible-believing missionaries who were there, who put an oral language into a written form so that they could give them the Word of God. If you want a great biography to read, get a biography of John Carey, I believe it is. Or, no, I got the name wrong. What's the name there? Carey in India. excuse me. Last name's Carey. I can't think of his first name right off the top of my head. Slipped my mind. But missionary Carey came from England, and he went down into India, and he was instrumental in putting the Word of God into a number of languages, and turned out to be a very gifted linguist that God used in that respect. But anyway, maybe it's William Carey, think about it. But he was used of God. Well, getting back to the Samoan Bible, there was a Samoan Bible that was put together in the late 1880s, and that Bible was the Bible that was translated using the King James Version of the Bible, as well as going back to the Hebrew and Greek that underlied the King James, the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek Textus Receptus. And John Williams and this Tahitian missionary, they put the Samoan language into a written form. They had to develop the alphabet and everything. And then they translated the scriptures and gave them the scriptures. And a tremendous work of God swept across the Samoan Islands along with that. And unfortunately, the devil gets into things, and he began to water down the gospel, and he began to confuse people as to what the Bible taught. And by the time that we were there, the main churches in Samoa were not preaching the gospel. In fact, we knew of a pastor who had gone to the States, and while in the States, he was in California, got invited to an evangelistic meeting. Him and his wife got saved. He came back to American Samoa, began preaching the gospel in his church, and people got upset, and they were a denominational church, and they went and they complained, and the denominational elders told him if he didn't stop preaching that stuff, that they would remove him from being the pastor. And so that was the state of the churches that was there when we arrived there. A lot of confusion, but not much true gospel message. A lot of religion, but not much of a relationship with Christ, a true relationship. And in the midst of all of that, there was a new Bible that was being used that was not based on the Hebrew Masoretic and the Greek Textus Receptus. It was based on the what we call the Alexandrian text, the corrupt text line, the Textus Receptus in particular, as well as the Hebrew Masoretic, comes from the Antiochian textual line, a completely different class of manuscripts. Remember, the Bible says that they were first called Christians in Antioch. Well, that's the source of those documents. Alexandria, Egypt, was a picture of the world, and Origen and Eusebius and others down there corrupted the Word of God, and they did not believe many of the truths of the Bible. They didn't believe in the virgin birth. They didn't believe in the vicarious suffering of Christ. They didn't believe in the blood atonement. They did not believe in the resurrection of Christ. And as they redid the Bibles and copied them, they altered them and struck stuff out. That's why there's so many errors and so many missing things in the modern versions. And that's a whole other subject another day, though. But so that was the only Psalm 1 Bible that was left, because the Bible from the 1880s was on some plates that, well, the Methodist Church in Fiji had some of them, and the Congregational Church in America in Samoa, I guess, had some access to it, but they had no interest in continuing the original Psalm 1 Bible that was based on the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Textus Receptus. So one of our prayers, because we thought, you know, hey, if these people destroy the plates or never relinquish them, the correct Bible is going to disappear. And we prayed while we were there, and we've prayed since we were back, that God would preserve His Word. And the Bible says God would preserve His Word. And not just in the original languages, but also in other languages, God has preserved His Word. And I believe that He's preserved it in the King James Version, for instance, in the English language. And we prayed about that. And Brother Savale, one of the things that they did after they started out as missionaries, God got a hold of their heart and said, you know, you should rescue that Psalm 1 Bible. And they tried to get access to the plates, and the churches wouldn't have anything to do with it. They didn't want them to do that. So they took a very painstaking process where they basically photocopied or scanned every page of the Psalm 1 Bible, and then they sent it out to people and had people type it in, you know, on a keyboard on their computers, and they developed a complete Psalm 1 Bible online, or on the computer. They had it all digitized, and it was all set, and they were able to do a couple of things with that. One of them is they were able to produce their own plates. And they rescued, in fact, I'm holding in my hand the Ole Feanganga Fau Alo Tato Alii O Yesu Keriso. And that's the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And it's completely in the Psalm 1 language. It's reprinted from the 1887 edition. And it's printed in the United States of America by Bible-believing Christians that have a desire to preserve God's Word in various languages of the world. And Brother Savale gave me a copy of this last night. And even though it's just the New Testament, this is an answer to prayer. And even though my wife and I have been back from the Samoan Islands as missionaries since the late 1990s, it's nice to see that God is still answering our prayers. And then not only do I hold this printed edition, and they have whole Bibles as well. I just happen to have the New Testament here. The Psalm 1 Bible has now been digitized and made available as a free download through, I think it's eSword online. You can actually go there and you can get the Psalm 1 Bible right there. And it's amazing. But it didn't stop there. It's gone one step further than that. It's now available as an app. And Brother Savale showed me on his phone. You can go to the App Store. And for those of you familiar with getting apps and things like that, you can now download the Psalm 1 Bible, if you want to see the Bible in Psalm 1, on your smartphone or your tablet. And it's amazing, which means this Bible has been preserved. It's out there in digital form for people around the world. There's a lot of Psalm 1s living in the United States, Australia, New Zealand, different places. There's more Psalm 1s living outside of the Samoan Islands than in the Samoan Islands, and it's exciting. What a blessing, and to see all that come together, and then have the Savalis visit us during our church anniversary today. What an exciting time. We had a great day today, and so I'm kind of excited about that. And so at any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Check us out at livewithpastoral.com. We're coming up on our break here in just about a minute or so, and I have a caller calling in, and let's see if we can get him on just for a few minutes here, and we can hold over, hopefully. And Brett, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi. I wanted to hear your comments about the implications of the for Christians, evangelical Christians, etc., of the Pope's visit to the United States and also speech to Congress beginning this Tuesday.
All right.
Could you comment, please?
Yeah. All right. And we're gonna come up on a break here. Do you want to hold or over the break?
Okay.
All right. And we'll pick that up on the other side of the break. But the Pope is coming. He's in Cuba right now, I believe. And he will be coming up to the United States. And I believe it's on Wednesday. He's going to be meeting with the president, and there's some event. In fact, I was just reading an article recently about this event, and we'll touch on some of the implications of this after the break, but just get some of the background information here right at the moment. There's some controversy already about this event, because I guess President Obama has invited to be at this event some of the guests there when the Pope comes in, several people who represent, shall we say, the even more liberal wing of the Roman Catholic Church than Pope Francis is, people who believe that abortion should be allowed and all of that, as well as some transgendered people representing various LGBT Catholic groups and just different people like that. There's some controversy about that, but we'll wait and see what happens. Then, of course, he's going to address Congress. So stay tuned. We'll pick this up on the second half of the program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And let me encourage you to visit us at our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us, more about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can also listen to past programs there. I have a number of past programs, and I'm endeavoring to build up an archive going a little bit further back. We've been doing this program for about 9 years now, and so trying to get some of these things available and hopefully be a blessing and encouragement. We get a number of people who visit there from other countries and download some of the MP3 files and listen to them. So that's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al from that page as well. And you can link to our church page as well. Also want to mention one of our supporters, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. If you're up in the Cleveland, Ohio area, you can visit them. 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, one of the reasons we mention this here on our program, even though our program is heard in not only Northeast Ohio, here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word, but it's also heard on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. And I believe we're also on 1440 in Warren, Ohio. So we're getting out of the Cleveland, Akron area with that. And we mentioned East Coast Pizza because if you're in one of these other areas and you've got a restaurant and you're looking for a great pizza that you can add to your restaurant fare, or maybe you just want to start a pizza shop, if you'll contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can get you help, help you get started in your own pizza business. Not a franchise, you'll be in your own business. And he'll give you the guidance, he'll give you the help, he'll get you the recipe that he developed himself, and give you a chance to get started. Hey, if you're going to start a pizza shop or add pizza to a restaurant, you got to have a good dough recipe, and you got to have a good sauce recipe. And let me tell you, he's got excellent dough and sauce recipe that he'll make available. If you contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100, ask for Gus and ask how you can get started in your own pizza business. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here. Let me just move over there and set that down. And we have been talking before the break. We were talking with Brett, who had a question about the Pope arriving in America on Wednesday. He's going to be meeting with President Obama, and he is currently in Cuba. And I was going to say in the Cuban islands, but that's one main island. I think there's some tiny little islands associated with it. But he's in Cuba right now, and he's asking what kind of implications we might have with the Pope coming. And there's been a lot of talk here. We know with the Blood Moon Tetrad that I believe the 28th will be the final in this Blood Moon Tetrad series. And of course, real quick, that's the idea of a full lunar eclipse happening on these certain feast or Jewish holy days, Passover and Sukkot, on two successive years in a row, with no other full or partial eclipses in between. Only happens every once in a while, happened in the 1400s, happened in 1949, 50, I think it was, also in about 67, 68, and now in 2014, 2015. It's not going to happen for, I guess, a few hundred years before it happens again. But a lot of people have looked at that with the possible prophetic implications, believing that something important might happen in Israel or with the Jewish people. And then, of course, there's been all the talk, can't get away from all the talk about the Shemitah year, which concluded on a week ago Sunday, and then the Jubilee year that started on a week ago tomorrow. So this year on the Jewish calendar is now a Jubilee year, and then, of course, prophetic implications with that possibly. And a lot of people, of course, even that don't necessarily put much stock in any of those things, still believe that the world events are crying out the fact that we live in the latter days, and that the Lord is going to be coming soon. And there's a lot of belief that perhaps some of the things surrounding the Pope's visit to the United States might tie in with that. And of course, our caller Brett had asked what might be there. Certainly, the Pope is going to have some conversations with President Obama. There's some things that they do not agree on, but there are some things they do agree on. Certainly, the Pope is not for abortion, and President Obama is, and in a testimony to that fact, the U.S. House passed a resolution to cut off funding for Planned Parenthood for a year while they investigate the videos and the claims of Planned Parenthood selling aborted baby parts. And you cannot deny that they're doing that. It's just like the candidate Carly Fiorina during the presidential debate said she challenged President Obama and Hillary Clinton and different ones to watch these videos and to watch these people discuss keeping babies alive so that they can harvest their brain and things of this nature. Just pure barbarism. And people look at that and then say, oh, well, no, you can't cut off funding for Planned Parenthood. And the House passed that resolution. They were going to divert the money that's going to Planned Parenthood to other women's health organizations that don't do abortions. And the Senate, hopefully, will pass the same thing. However, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a week or two ago had made a comment something to the effect of that we should hold off any legislation like this until we get a new president because we won't win. The president will just veto it. And I say, no, you got to take a stand. And President Obama has already said he'll veto it. But so what? Put him on record defending the barbarity of Planned Parenthood, the butchery where they butcher live children for a profit. But getting back to the question with the Pope, there's certainly a difference of opinion between the Pope and President Obama on abortion, but there's a lot of similarities, climate change, so-called. And the Pope is going to be addressing Congress, the U.S. Congress. I'm not sure what day that is, Thursday, or I think it's Thursday. And there's already at least one member of Congress that says he's going to boycott the speech. And even though he himself is a Roman Catholic, he says he's going to boycott the speech because the Pope has let it be known that the bulk of his speech is going to be talking about the false science of climate change, which the Pope believes. The Vatican had released an encyclical or something trying to promote this climate change nonsense. And as this guy pointed out, I'd give you his name if I could remember it, but he pointed out the climate's been changing ever since God created it in Genesis chapter 1. And so it changes all the time. We're in the midst of a climate change right now, going from summer here in northeastern Ohio to fall and approaching winter time. And it'll be quite a change in the climate, but the climate goes through cycles, and climate change right now is a way of trying to bring people into the socialist and communist agenda on the international level, and it's a way to overcome people who want to basically take the wealth of nations like the United States and give it to the developing world, rather than helping them develop, just confiscate the wealth from the developed world and funnel it into the pockets of the developing world. And unfortunately, usually it winds up going into the pockets of the leaders who build palatial residences and build up Swiss bank accounts and things like that. You can study history. That just seems to be the typical thing. But at any rate, so the Pope is going to be addressing all of this, and then he's going to be going to the UN, and he's going to be addressing the UN. One of the things that it's rumored he's going to call for global initiatives and possibly even global laws mandating some of these things. And it's just pushing that one world agenda. And so some people have speculated, you know, could this have some prophetic import having to do with end times? We know that the Antichrist will come on the scene eventually after God catches the believers out of the world. It's an event we call the rapture. After that, the Antichrist will come on the scene, be revealed. He may be on the scene now, but he's not going to be revealed probably until after the rapture. And then he will be aided by a great religious leader. In fact, I read a thing just the other day that said that Pope Francis is actually more popular than the church that he heads. And some people believe that the Pope, whether Pope Francis or another one, will be the Antichrist or possibly the false prophet in the book of Revelation that leads the world in eventually worshiping the Antichrist as God. And that, of course, is where you get into Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, and the idea of people worshiping him as God and taking that mark. So we're going to watch and see what happens. And the next week, I'm sure, when we come back on the air, Lord willing, a week from tonight, we'll be able to comment on some of the things that the Pope said, did, some of the things that happened. And I guess it's a security nightmare, the security details. They know there's threats against him, personal safety-wise. And so they're worried about that. He's going to be speaking in Philadelphia, I guess, in an open setting. And so, you know, as believers, we need to watch what's happening in events like this. We need to see what's going on so that we can be aware, and we need to look at these things through the filter of the Word of God. And certainly, when we look at these events, though the Pope is mistaken on much of his Bible doctrine and certainly does not preach the gospel that Paul upheld, but by the same token, when he's doing things, the world takes notice. And so Bible-believing Christians should pay attention and see what's going on. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'll get you on the air here, 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy calling in tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, and I really appreciate you taking my call, and really glad that you were able to come to our church, Bible Baptist Temple, for our missions conference, which you mentioned earlier in the show. It was really a delight, and I didn't realize that Pastor or Brother Cefelli, that you didn't realize that he was going to be at our missions conference.
No, that was a pleasant surprise.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that before. And it was great to see him again. You know, and thank you for being so cordial. My friend and I, you know, went to your church for your anniversary Sunday, and it's great to see your daughter and your little granddaughter. What a cutie pie. And she looks like she's about 6 or 7 months old. I know she's 4 months.
Yeah, we informed our daughter and her husband that they're now known as the parents of the grandchild. their names are immaterial now. They're just the parents of the grandchild. So.
It was really adorable. Now, this is something that I've always sort of wondered about. You hear missionaries say I was called by God to go to this country or that country, Italy or Hungary or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there any Bible verses that back up? I mean, to me, it seems like a free will choice what country you go to. I know certain circumstances sort of push you in a certain direction, but if there are not specific circumstances, like you mentioned about you and your wife going to Samoa, is there any Bible verses to back that up, that, you know, God called me to go to this country or that country? It seemed to me like it's free choice.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a good passage in Acts chapter 13. And for our listeners, let me preface this. What Nancy is talking about here, in the independent fundamental Baptist circles, we practice what's called faith missions. And we do have some missions agencies, and some people use various missions agencies. And I'd mentioned Brother John Yingling, who's the General Director of Baptist International Outreach, which is a missions agency. And some people go straight through their home church. Their home church takes care of all the details. But we practice what's called faith missions, and it's a little different than what denominational churches do. A lot of denominational churches, you know, they have the denomination sets up a board, and the missionaries go through that board, and they sometimes they wind up going where the denomination determines that they should go. And with the independent fundamental Baptist movement, we view ourselves as, in effect, non-denominational. We don't have denominational headquarters, and we may affiliate with one another, different churches, and on a loose basis to cooperate with various things, as such as some of these various missions agencies. And they serve as an agency that kind of helps collect support. And rather than be paid by the denomination, missionaries will go to various churches, which is what was going on last night at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and they will present their ministry. They'll share what God is doing in their life and where they believe God wants them to go and serve. And individual churches will, if they feel led of the Lord, they will take that missionary on for support, and they'll pray for them, and they'll actually directly financially support them. See, that's different than the denominational situation where a denomination pays the missionary.
Had a different method.
Yeah,
we support 50 missionaries at Bible Baptist Temple.
Well, how many missionaries?
50.
Yeah, and see, what happens is with that form, you get to see those missionaries. Because I forget how many were there last night, but some of them were
13.
Missionaries.
There's 13 of them.
Yeah, and there were missionaries that had been there. Sometimes some of them you folks have been supporting for years. You get to see the missionary that your dollars and prayers go to support. And hear report firsthand of what they're doing, rather than just simply the denominational report for a missionary that you may or may not ever see. And so I think it's superior. I think it's more biblical because you get that personal contact with that missionary get to have a way, just like I was sharing about the Psalm 1 Bible and about how we have a part in that, and our church has a part in that. And actually, your church has a part in that, because when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, Bible Baptist Temple supported us. And
that's a part
in that Bible. But getting back to the idea of how do you know where to go then? Because people will say, well, if you don't have the denominational hierarchy and format, how do you know where to go? People just go willy-nilly all over the place, and how does anything get done? Well, we believe the Holy Spirit will guide people, and Acts chapter 13 is a great passage here. What we have here, it starts out in Acts 13, verse 1. It says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Now, Saul there is the Apostle Paul. Sometimes earlier in the book of Acts, you'll see him, Saul, S-A-U-L, and other times it'll be written, you'll see it as Paul after you get through, you know, about Acts 13, it tends to switch more over to just Paul. In fact, in verse 9 it says, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost," in verse 9. So the transition goes from Saul to Paul in the use of the name, but it's the same individual. And the key here, it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, you notice, it wasn't the church calling them. It wasn't the pastor of the church calling them. It wasn't a mission agency calling them. It wasn't a denominational organization calling them. It is the Holy Ghost calling them. And Paul or Saul and Barnabas were two men that were working in the church at Antioch. They were there. We saw in verse number 1, men that were working in the church. And as they're working in the church, God separated. God spoke to the church, the people in the church, and he said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them," which means that he had spoken to Barnabas and Saul's heart as well about being these missionaries. And so this is a local church. This is not a denominational headquarters. This is a local church that's serving God in the city of Antioch. And God spoke to the heart of these two men, Barnabas and Saul, said, "I have a special ministry for you, a special job for you." And then he confirmed that in the hearts of the people in the church. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in the hearts of believers. Now, there's other passages you can look at, but this is the key. God's speaking to their heart. He's speaking to the church's heart. And notice what it says then as we continue on verse 3 here, Acts 13, verse 3. It says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." This is the local church. They prayed over these men. They fasted and prayed. They wanted to make sure that this is what God wanted them to do. They sought God's will in this matter. And then they, the local church, sent them, Saul and Barnabas, away, meaning off to the field. And they helped them out. They gave them some support, some funding, I'm sure, some money and some supplies to go off with. And as they headed out, the Bible says here in verse 4, notice, "So they," that's Barnabas and Saul, "being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." So here's the Holy Ghost involved in this again. The Holy Ghost called them. The Holy Ghost confirmed that to the hearts of the people in the church. And the Holy Ghost is sending them forth. So they're going forth, sent forth by the Holy Ghost, which means God's directing their steps where he would have them go. See, unsaved people have difficulty understanding this. It's hard to understand, but one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost is to teach and to guide us and to train us and to help us and to direct our paths. And so the Holy Ghost is directing them, and it says they departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And so John here went with them. He felt led to go with them as well. And as you go through this, you see them going as the Holy Ghost directed them. God, through his Spirit, spoke to the hearts of Paul and Barnabas, and and directed them, and he confirmed that with the other believers in the church. And I believe that's part of the key to missions. Missionaries will say, "I believe that God is calling me to go to Italy," or "I believe that God is calling me to go to the Samoan Islands." And God will direct their path. And the missionary, hopefully, in tune with God, senses the Lord's direction, and God will guide them and direct them, and he'll confirm that in their heart with other people. You know, when God led us to start this radio program, for instance, I felt God's leading to do it, but I sought confirmation. I sought confirmation through my wife, and God confirmed it through her. I sought confirmation through the people in our church, and God confirmed it through them. And as God confirmed it, he made the way possible. And so, you know, as a believer, as you're serving God, God directs your path, and he uses you for his glory. Hey, Nancy, we're about out of time here. I hope that helped answer your question. There's other passages as well, but certainly, this is a good one to start with, the Holy Spirit directing us. Well, we're out of time tonight. I want to thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.